Hello, hello, superhero fans, and welcome to Vigilante Vibes, a Marvel podcast where we break down, digest, and spill the tea on all things Marvel, MCU, and nerd culture. I'm your host, Max Taff, and I'm joined by the morph to my Wolverine, Megan Nicole.
What's shaking, bacon?
Today, we have a very special episode for you. You may know him as the voice of Cable in X-Men: The Animated Series.
Or you may know him as Executioner in X-Men 97.
He's voiced so many loved characters throughout the years, permanently cementing his place in nerd culture history. On the show with us today is the one and only Lawrence Bane. Hi, Lawrence.
Hi.
How you doing?
So good. We're so happy to have you.
So happy to have you.
That's a lovely way to kill a Saturday afternoon.
Well, we're glad you think so.
Yes. So, I guess kicking us off, what was your initial reaction to the news that they were bringing back X-Men, the animated series for X-Men 97?
Well, my first initial reaction was because I wasn't listed. I phoned my agent and said, get me listed.
Oh my gosh.
Well, I heard that the original cast was coming back, and I wondered how much of that had sort of, you know, been okay because of me and my participation in my little things. So I just, I outright petitioned them, you know, said, so you hiring me back again? I had a great time the first time. And yeah. I'm grateful for it because I'll get into that later, but Disney hiring me, at the point when they did was a pretty good point in life to have that kind of help all of a sudden. So.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, for sure. That's awesome.
That's so exciting. I can't imagine how many memories are being brought back when you came back to it.
Yeah.
Did it feel like old times?
The memories we still have. Well, no, it wasn't like old times. So we were old people. everybody had their little catalog of complaints, physical, mostly everybody. Mm-hmm. I loved it. None of them are aware, I think, that they do it, but everybody goes and goes, oh, there's something wrong with my calf today or something wrong. I was doing it. Everybody was doing it. But it was fun. It was fun. We were hanging out in Signer's Alley or whatever it's called at the Comic-Con because it's my second.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And it was an awesome day because you realize how deeply you affect people with this. And it blows you away, guys, because, you know, my part was done a long time ago, and to have the interest, you know, rekindled like this, I mean, nobody could have seen it coming other than year after year, you hear more and more about how X-Men was the animated series at its time.
Of course.
And we had no idea we were something, you know, we were entrenched in something that big either. Not the first season. The second season, we were getting some buzz back, but even then, it wasn't as quick as now. You know, the instant sort of feedback and you, the proliferation of your folk and your kin doing your stuff on broadcasts. I mean, the information gets out really fast. Some of it was not even based on, you know, truth, but a lot of it, I mean, people want to surmise. And for me, coming back to it, and seeing how people were still impressed by it, I watched the first episode in the dark with a bunch of fans, and it was incredible. It was overwhelming. I was really, really moved by their love.
Oh, wow. I bet the response was incredible.
So you actually got to watch it with all the fans around you. What was the energy like?
I was sitting right beside Aid Huff and George Buza. We were enjoying the whole thing. And yeah, we went up for a quick Q&A afterwards. And yeah, they're really, really kind of a cut above some fans that I've met when somebody recognized me from another show and I was a bad guy, you know, and somebody come and go, I hate you, man. You know, so.
Okay, wait a minute. So let's talk about that quickly. So your name sounded so familiar when I was doing prep for this interview with you. I looked up your filmography and I realized that I recognized you from Strange Days at Blake Holsey High.
Yes.
I couldn't believe I couldn't believe that it was you, and I got so much more excited because I used to watch that as a kid, and I remember your character was always just so sneaky and devious and putting those kids like through it on that show, and I just loved every second of it. So that was amazing.
Yeah, Strange Days was a lot of fun, and for me, it's nerd culture too, that show. Absolutely.
Yes.
You know, I learned stuff there. Sure. I learned stuff there. I mean, Jeff Douglas's acting when he teaches. He is a teacher. I mean, as a human being, Jeff Douglas, but he's a great actor, and he sold me on a lot of nerd culture. I was like, "What? Do we know more about that?" Like, I'd be researching in between something I'd heard on the script into the real world, see if it existed. And there might be a recurrence of Strange Days as well. So hang on to your hats. There's some small issues. There's some small episodes already on YouTube. Look it up. Strange Days at Blake Holsey High. What's it called? Legends. Not sure, but look it up. There's new episodes for you to watch. And Valerie Boyle and I are about to do a new one soon too. Me and Mrs. Durst.
Wow. So, this is like blowing my mind. That's incredible.
It's blowing my mind too, because
watching you.
I remembered that because I remembered this whole resurgence in popularity for X-Men too. So, you know, things are so weird. Once you do something and it's out there in the ether, you never know when it's just gonna bounce back in and, you know, sprinkle you with fairy dust or something.
I know. That's crazy. It's two for two for you. You're getting a couple, like, double revival going on.
Yeah, could be. And working away at other things, you know?
That is amazing.
Congratulations on that. Two huge projects that you were in came back, so are you the magic touch?
Yeah. You know, I used to think so, but I don't want to be out of touch.
Gotcha.
I don't have to have the magic touch, but I got to stay in the game. And
yeah, for sure.
You know, it has its drifts. You know, it goes up, it goes down. If you don't have the stomach for it, you'll find out. If people want to do this business, they'll find out if you've got the sand to hold on when there's not a lot to hold on to. And then, you know, in those moments of fortune, making sure that you're doing the right thing with it.
Yeah.
Tough being an adult, so especially since I started at 50.
Wow. That's crazy. I mean, honestly, like, I'm really curious to know, what do you find to be the challenges of doing voice acting versus live action? What do you find to be more challenging and why?
Oh my God. Definitely on camera. God, come on. You got to do hair, makeup, wardrobe, tweaking, blocking, you know, resets. And what do? I walk in front of a mic and I didn't have to shave, you know?
Yeah,
hands down. I say this with absolute honesty. If I could make enough to do voice, if I could be making enough at doing voice, and it was enough, I probably wouldn't grace a camera again. It's too hard. It's too hard now. I mean, I can do it. I like to do it. I love to do it. You get the adrenaline charge. You're 17 years old all day long. But at the end of it, when you're 63, that adrenaline dumps out, you just fall like a wet sock to the ground, man.
Oh, my gosh. I can imagine. Oh, my God. I mean, yeah, but it's so true. Because the funny thing is, like, nowadays, especially after the pandemic, a lot of people are working from home. It's kind of like something similar. Like, a lot of people are going to work now. They don't have to shave anymore. They don't have to put on pants anymore. It's kind of like that. Like, you go into the studio, do your voice acting. You don't have to shave. You don't have to worry about the makeup.
I think people are looking less and less stylish because of this. Too. People are not. True. People are just not giving a shit when they go outside.
It's so true. Definitely a lot comfier style nowadays.
Yeah.
What got you started into voice acting?
I was 29. I harassed my agent. I was sitting on a patio, which is going to close very soon, the Black Bull patio. And I was listening to this person at another table, and they were voice casting agents, and I didn't approach them there. Saved my dignity that much. But I already had a theatrical agent, and I called her and said, "Carrie, I saw this woman. She's a voice casting. Can you get me in for an audition?" And so, oddly enough, that woman said, "Is he good looking?" I don't know what that had to do with the voice casting, but she asked my agent if I was good looking, and my agent said, "Yeah," in a wasted kind of Keith Richards way. So,
oh my God.
I had hair.
And she's really selling more, you up.
I had hair. I had hair once, and was probably wasted from time to time. But So I did. I went in. I had an audition, and I met the casting director, Kim Herden, and I did the audition, and I think I did two more, and then I scored a great big huge campaign for a year and a half for Hyundai, and then I scored a bank, and then awesome. I scored a beer. And back in those days, you wanted a bank, beer, and a car, and that was gonna you know, put a kid through college. So,
oh wow,
yeah, and I had a good, I shot out of the gate pretty good, you know. I got it fast, and I held it for about 10 years maximum. So it's still out there. But when I started doing voice in Toronto, there were 3,000 actors doing it. Now there are 25,000 actors doing it within Toronto. So,
oh god,
not competition. It's just what a market difference. Flooding.
yeah,
absolutely.
That's a big difference.
It is. Goodness gracious. I guess it does pay off to be cool with Disney so they can bring you back.
Exactly.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I don't know if I can give this away. I can't.
Okay.
I can say this. I'm still involved with the program, mm-hmm. but it doesn't look like Executioner is coming back.
Oh, no? Ooh, what an exclusive. Like, thank you for that.
You're welcome. I think that's a tasty morsel.
It is.
Who knows?
Who knows? Who knows?
Who knows? Like, look, I heard that and I went, you know, and I didn't get it from anybody I find important, but that it's out there and somebody's saying it, you go, okay, so someone knows my career better than me. Oh, ho hum, another day.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I heard. I heard I'm already in the exit box. Who knows?
Well,
who knows?
What did it feel like coming back as a different actor as opposed to being Cable or Captain America?
Well, I wanted Cable. Captain America is not out of the question, I don't think, yet. But I wanted Cable back. But you know, the powers that be shifted that to Chris Potter and gave me another one, and that's the biz. How did it feel? It felt great to be working, because that's really the bottom line. To, you know, and it's lovely to work at something that is recognized by folks, and I think we all want to work a little harder because of that. We're all, I think, you know, some of them like, you know, doing their work on their own. I don't. I like ensemble acting. With, you know, mm-hmm. 10 actors and 10 microphones and a ovoid, and you just go at it. It's great fun. And it's the pandemic has sort of killed that. I don't think those days are ever coming back, to be honest. I remember doing radio plays that way. Radio plays, that's right. No, not before television, at the same time, though. Okay.
okay.
No, they just to clarify. I didn't participate in the original plays only made for radio.
Well, that's good to know. I mean, I know the pandemic changed so much, so many different things. Getting together is now such a hard thing to do. So many people got used to doing things like individually, that now bringing an ensemble together to, you know, act as a group, especially for voice acting, can be kind of
fading,
like you said,
non-social anyway. So it was, you know, not that hard to drift.
Okay, that works out.
There's no places to go. I like playing with you know, a bunch of sods out in the northern Toronto there on a band, and sort of doing that thing every now and then.
That's cool.
It's all about me. It's all about me.
It should be. Yeah.
As it should be, exactly.
For me, it's all about me because it's original music that we're doing. Mm-hmm. And they're all my lyrics. I compose a little bit of music, but I have two collaborators that are just dynamite. More than that, actually. I mean, I'd really like to put out something, but it would be like with a running group of musicians I've met over the years, if it happens at all. But it's fun. I might be able to send you a song that wouldn't sound half bad.
Yes, please send us.
Oh, I'd love that if you did.
All right, I'll look one up. I won't do it now because I will inevitably screw up the screen and lose your
No, but you're like a jack of all trades. You're also writing, and that's amazing.
You have to have as many oars in the water, sir, as you can to get the boat going, you know.
It's very true.
Some people use the spinning plates analogy, but I think some people don't even know what that means. I don't think if anybody's seen an Ed Sullivan show, they haven't seen the guy spinning plates on a stick, right? You ever seen that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah. Yep. Okay. Yeah. So that's what you're doing. You're either spinning plates or you got as many oars in the water as possible.
I know the feeling. And yeah, you're absolutely right. You got to keep multiple things up in the air sometimes, right? It's just the best way to be.
With the hope that they will land graciously in your arms and not on your head.
Exactly. 100% true. Absolutely. So just out of curiosity, playing a character like Executioner versus playing a character like Cable, how is your approach different as a voice actor? Like, what was different for these characters for you and your performance?
Well, Cable was sort of born out of the battle that Cal Dodd and I were engaged in. Not really a battle, but it was them hanging us up because we both had auditioned for Wolverine. And we weren't told about it for a while. Who got it? Mm-hmm. So Cal got it, and that was fine, absolutely fine. And then they called me to come in and read for Cable. Now, I'd already gone in and probably read for them about three times, you know, and auditioning. So they had a couple of different files. And I went in and Dan Hennessy, the director, just said, I just want you to talk. I don't want to hear a single superhero, you know, tremolo in your voice or anything like that. I just want you to read the lines and keep it in the lower register and don't get too excited about anything. There was things like that he was saying, because I think I went in there wanting to, you know, crash and bash and, you know, do Hulk smash and, no, it had to be something else. So the lines were perfect. I mean, the lines are just great. Hey, how are you doing? You know, it's easy enough to do Cable because he just speaks what's completely important at that very moment. He's not a ruminator and he's not a deep thinker, but he is he's programmed for an ambiguous kind of good evil thing. So I like his conflicts, and I kept his voice calm as a sort of a salute to that conflict. This isn't a guy who's in conflict so much that he's raging around on you know, he's not doing a roid rage. He's far more focused, and there's an inner dialogue going, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? And he's trying to answer the questions all the time, I think, too, in his own sort of direct, simple fashion. Mm-hmm. That's my Cable nerdness. Yeah. That's all I got.
that was beautifully put. I mean, I love hearing like what drives the performance of Cable for you. I think it's really interesting to see it from that perspective, because it's true. I mean, Cable is a very mission-driven character. And he's got his focus. He's got his purpose in mind. And it really does come off that way. You know, the way you project and the way your voice comes off, it's very direct, and it's true. It's really encompassing of his character.
Well, thank you. So I don't know why Cable went to Chris Potter. I know Chris is. I know something might have something to do with the age of Cable. I don't know beyond that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'm still working for them, so you know, hats off to the mouse.
Yes, hats off to the mouse.
We're very excited to see where you pop up next, because you just pop up everywhere.
You could go on Tubi and look up something called the Red Iron Road.
Ooh.
Red Iron Road.
Okay, it's a
trilogy of hard-ass Russian animation. Bloody, gory.
Mm, wow.
Yep, and I am the bad guy. And I mean, the bad guy. I do a couple of voices throughout three of them, but
a role you do well.
Yeah. Red Iron Road. Oh. I like it. I'm very proud of it.
And my notes right now.
As red as the theme. I'm doing another series out of Montreal called Red Ketchup, which is also violent and nasty. And I'm particularly bad on that one.
I see a theme going on here.
I was just about to say that I also did a Wombats episode. And I believe Wombat for the 3 and 5 year olds, 3 and 6 year olds. I think that's the age. Mm-hmm. So that isn't me snarling and shrieking into the mic. Okay. That's me being very paternal grandfather type. you know.
Oh, okay. Elder. Good.
I'm playing elders now. When I used to play, you know, young warriors, now I'm playing the elder. The elder who survived that bullshit.
I know, yeah.
The ones that said, I'm too old for this shit.
I know, exactly. Exactly. So, Lawrence, I know our time is running out here, but I did have one question that I wanted to ask you. How was your overall experience working on X-Men 97 this time around with Marvel Studios, Marvel Animation, and Disney versus the team with Fox Kids on the original X-Men the Animated Series?
I heard people having opinions in the engineer room. It did not affect me. Did not affect me. And for me, I didn't notice any great lapse in script. Others will argue. I will not. But all I did was go in there and do the work and try to maintain the bead. Because, you know, sometimes you don't work for 3 weeks and you got to go in there and find that voice again. You don't walk around with it. You don't. I'm not a method voice actor. Okay, I just apply it to the character and then I stop. Sometimes I don't speak at all in between gigs, like for days, no vocalization.
Oh wow, really?
Yeah, I've done it on and off for about 30 years. Just got had. I first started up and did a vow of silence, and I kept it for 3 months, and I got 2 film roles at the same time. And all I did was open my mouth to act. And then I did not engage with anything else. It's quite a social experiment. And it centers me a little, relaxes me to keep my mouth shut sometimes for days.
Yeah, that's insane.
Wow, that's
you go
really
in,
cool.
Man, you go in there, my friends.
Yeah.
And, you know, you sweep out the temple.
Yeah, that's that Bane method of acting. See, that's what we were talking about before.
Oh my, I didn't realize, I guess I never thought about it, that voice actors just stop talking and then pick up when they work.
Well, now I'm only speaking for myself. I know other voice actors who never shut up. And
okay, so this isn't a method. This is just what you
do. I'm one of them. When I get a role going, I can't be shut down. So I've learned to be a little more prudent in this, especially because I'm visiting formats like this more than I ever have. On this little spike.
Oh, I'm sure.
Anyway, and
I'm
thank
sure,
you.
Especially with X-Men.
Well, that's it.
Yes.
Well, thank you for this. This was fun.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so for being for on with us.
On. My pleasure. My pleasure.
Thank you for coming back to X-Men 97. It meant a lot to us that grew up with X-Men the Animated Series.
I'm so glad I was allowed to. So glad I was allowed to. So glad.
We're so happy you're back, and we hope that if Executioner doesn't stick around too long, that they find a way to bring you back in some other way, because you are fantastic, sir, and thank you again so much.
Do you want to tell our listeners where they can follow you?
Yes, sir. Any upcoming projects?
Oh, you can follow me on Twitter, and you can follow me as Olson Bane on Instagram, and I'm Lawrence Olson Bane on Facebook, and I might be connected to some other things, but it's not really top of the tier right now for me to be doing that. Mm-hmm. Further information can be found at IMDb, and you know, you punch in the name Lawrence Bane into Google and you can look and listen and be misinformed in some cases about what I've been doing for, you know, a while now.
Perfect. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Lawrence.
Thank you. Have such a good day.
All right. Take care. Peace, love, and power to y'all. And I'll see you in See you around.
Yes, thank you.
Right, bye-bye. Bye.
And that's a wrap on our Vigilante Vibes bonus episode. Until next time, you can follow me everywhere at His Name is Max.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Megan the Gangsta.
Join our non-toxic Facebook group of over 50,000 members, Mediaverse Comics Unwrapped. Follow our public Facebook page, Mediaverse Plus. Follow us on all of our socials at MediaverseCU. Our new episodes will be airing Tuesdays. If you like what you've heard, please hit that subscribe button. And if you really love us, drop us a 5-star review wherever you are listening to us. It means the world. Thanks again to Lawrence Bane for stopping by. Thanks for tuning in, and goodbye for now.
Goodbye.